Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the birthday wishes on behalf of the three of us in this room. It's always cool to share a birthday, and especially with a family member. It's great to be home. It is great to be home. It's neat when you get to travel over town, but when you get home, there's nothing like arriving at home. And ours is still a mess, just like we left it. We moved literally the day before we left and came home to that. This has been one of those journeys where when I left, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. And when I came home, I was sure what I was going to expect. But as you know, a lot of you have been praying for me. My brother passed right before Christmas Day, and a celebration of his life occurred in Florida. So I had to take a little detour from what the family was doing and then meet them, kind of like when you set your Garmin or your phone to an opposite direction, and then you meet up in the direction you want to go. That's how my eventful week went. Thank you for your prayers. Some of you guys even financially helped out to help me get there, and I really appreciate that. More than anything, let me tell you, the work of Christ continues in Florida through the life of people that were supporting us along the way. As I was a younger man, they showed up in support of my brother and his life. It brought great encouragement to me. And throughout the week, I have been generating a combination of grieving, a combination of celebrating, a combination of reflecting, and then a heck of a lot of laughter. You know, our Savior's all about creating those emotions for reason. And I got a great one that came in just a couple days ago. You're going to love this one. So what is Mary and Jesus' favorite airline? Virgin. Oh, that was good. Come on, you guys. Oh, man. I tried. It was a great week. I look at all that God has done and will do, and this week with the jokes and the things that came my way, thank you guys for sending me. I got all kinds of little messages and texts. My family's actually been going nuts with them because I've been cranking them out as I get them. It just feels good to laugh. It feels good to let my stomach relax a little bit and to breathe and expand my lungs. Yeah, grieving is important. And so is laughter. And the combination of this week has been one roller coaster for me. This was also a chance to get into the wilderness. On a very cheap vacation, we put some stuff together that came out of nowhere. That's 40-degree water. I had a chance to finally go fly fishing. And not just alone, but with my two sons. There's Harrison out there, too. We didn't catch anything. Doggone it. That would have been great. And there's some big brown trout in the water, but we're all Florida fishermen, California fishermen, so we had no idea what we were doing. But we looked the part, and it sure was fun sharing that with my brothers. Once again, another opportunity for God to come in rescue mode and to remind me what it looks like to have the love of brothers there. As I lost mine, but celebrated two brothers, my two sons that got to be with me. Beautiful terrain out in the middle of nowhere. Large family gathering. We were with a gentleman who actually helped start Wild Men back in the day, Wild Men West, and his whole family was there, and our family combined, just in a little place called Woodland Park, and we connected with a lot of family. So once again, God's healing process, right? I'm grieving the loss of family, so what does he do? Thrusts me right into a large family gathering, and just the beauty that was there, unspeakable terrain, and we did it in the old church van. Can't believe it. That thing made it, and boy, did it run great the whole time. We're blessed. We're thankful. This has been one of those trips. Happy New Year to everyone in the room. I look at today as an opportunity, not just my birthday. I look at today as an opportunity for a new everything, but not just something new, and not just something everything that can be new, but to end in such a way that 2017 goes out with a bang. I have a lot of reflecting that I'm doing. Today I'm starting a new series. I'm not sure how long it'll go. I want it to go at least 3 weeks, though, and looking at what God is blessing us with in this church. But how to shout without screaming. Let me explain a little bit of this series. The idea behind this, literally, is the word shout and the word scream. And I'm a coach, and sometimes I use both. And occasionally you might even hear it in my own house, but there's both words that get somebody's attention, both words that do it, okay? And one typically has a negative connotation to it, that's screaming, Okay, no doubt about it. If you're on an airplane and babies are in the back screaming, people are likely to want to commit suicide and actually take the plane down. That was a picture of my scenario, both flights, literally right behind me. Yeah, she was letting her loose. And all I had was my little earbud things. I didn't have those soundproof deals. And a baby was screaming both my flights. It was insane, okay? But anyway, that was on Christmas Eve. The screaming that goes on. The only fun time I've really ever had in my life with screaming was as a kid. Right across the street from me was the Trammell house. Good fishing buddy, friend of mine named Harlan. And their family didn't have AC. They had like wall units that they would turn on and off. And occasionally they were off. And you could just hear some of the bizarre things being screamed in their house. Literally a mile away, you could hear stuff. And they didn't have this, didn't care who was listening. Harlan, did you wipe? We'd hear that occasionally. We'd be in the front yard just cracking up. My friend Scott and I would actually go commando and just lay right under the window at 6:30 for dinner, their dinner time. And just, we would both guarantee that we would not be the first ones to laugh. And we would sit there and listen to the stuff said around their table. Literally, you didn't have to sit there. You could have been a mile away and you would have heard it. This is a screaming family. And they were constantly yelling out the window. They did not give a rip who was listening, but it was a lot of fun back in the day to do that. This was really the only time I had fun with loud screaming. Most screaming is obnoxious. You want to hear some obnoxious screaming? Check out any coach on the first game of the season, okay? Where literally, I have high schoolers. These aren't the little AYSO kids. These are 17, 16, 17-year-olds. If you're not letting them know where their positions are, they are following the ball like a beehive, right? You know what I'm talking about? Baseball, same thing. And you'll hear it in football. There's just this level of voice that you'll hear. We actually have one coach. He actually can come off the ground when he's yelling. And you all have seen some of our basketball programming coaching staff over there, right? We won't mention names. But boy, sometimes they let loose. They get going. There's a difference between shouting and screaming. And sometimes, though, it can be a good thing when you're coaching. It can be a good thing. But most of the time, it's crazy. What we're talking about the next week or two is, how do you talk when you have something to shout about in such a way that's not obnoxious, like screaming? I felt people shouting their love across the miles. It wasn't necessarily my plan to leave when we were moving, you know, to go somewhere in the midst of a move. It's not easy. And then to add a death in the family with a move and you're traveling, it was quite a plateful. And the shouts of love that came our way just provided a path that you can do this. You'll get through this. You'll pass this with flying colors. Great, great friendship that came our way saying, I know where you're coming from. And if you need a listening ear, call me. I love that. And it was a shout to my soul. It really spoke way past what I was thinking God was up to and took it to the next level. You might be sitting there going, what do I have to shout about? Well, most of you in here are locals. This is that time of the year. And some of you I know have been coming to church for many, many years. And many of you actually possess something called the good news. Not all of you do. Here's my guess of the many people that are sitting here, actually three services today, okay? Many of you have come into a relationship with God and you've experienced the good news. Here's what the good news is. That God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. That's the good news. Many of you have captured that. If you've experienced that, that you have a relationship with God, you have the good news to share. That's significant. That's worthy of somebody's attention. Amen? I can't hear you. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's worthy of somebody's attention. I put in your notes, and if you look at them, the word evangelism. We've got some pens I want to float around really quick. Michael, if you can help us with that, and a couple people. We ran out of pens at the table. We grabbed some at the last minute. Those things are important. And there's a lot of stuff coming out today that's not in your notes. Great scriptures that I would love for you to take home. This is a new year. Many of you are going to stay in the notes for a lot of great reasons. And want to make sure that you can capture some of these things and go back to them and stay in the notes. Also, the church generally puts a lot of these things online. If you miss a service in a series, you can go on to AvalonCommunityChurch.com. You can check out our website and see the service that you missed, whether it's the 8:30, the 10:30, or even our 6 o'clock service. Evangelism is a big word. That's kind of what we're talking about as I break it down. And if you look at it, here it is: caring about God and people who don't know Him. That's the breakdown of it. If you cut me, I would bleed this purpose. Many of us are purpose-driven. Some of them you can see are posted in the back on the large ship's wheel that's in the back, the purposes, biblical purposes. Evangelism is one of my favorite. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not afraid of children. I'm not afraid of teenagers or gangsters. I'm not afraid of anyone. Generally speaking, I don't take reckless risks, but calculated risks. But when I see someone, I'm not afraid to just start a conversation. And for some people, that's actually very scary. And to hang out with somebody like that, it's even more scary. It's like, oh my gosh, what's he going to say now? My dad, sitting in any restaurant, would call the waitress by her first name on her name tag like he's known her for 30 years. Susie, come on over here. Everybody would just kind of sink, you know, like, how are you, Susie? Just start a conversation. He was a wonderful salesman, and I love the fact that he was not afraid of people. And I guess the apple did not fall far from the tree. And it's okay if you're not connected and you do not have a relationship with God and you're here and you're seeking or just checking this whole thing out. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're checking it out. Don't quit. Keep at it. But I'm thrilled you're here. And this morning, evangelism may have a different feel to you, or maybe it doesn't have a meaning at all. That's okay. Hang on. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe if you're younger, you were forced to be here. I know it's going to be a long night for a lot of people, and it's like, I would have loved to have slept in until about noon. But you're here. Maybe you're not glad that you're here, but it is New Year's, and it's like, I just need to check this off the list. Hopefully you'll keep coming, and you'll find out this: that God is crazy about you. How long has it been since you could honestly say somebody's crazy about you? Think about it. They may be sitting right next to you right now. I don't know. But how long has it been since you've heard the words, I am crazy about you? I love saying it. I get goosebumps because I have to think about it before I say it. I've got to believe it before I can say it and speak it. God's crazy about me. He's crazy about you. He loves you more than you love yourself. Catch that? That He loves you more than any human could love you and wants a relationship with you. That's the good news. That is worth shouting about. Folks, if I had the cure to cancer, I would have saved my brother's life and my grandfather's and others. Isn't that worth shouting about? Yeah, that would be, right? If we had the cure to AIDS, do you think that would be worth shouting about? Of course, because it's good news. It's huge. We have the cure to life. That God loves you and doesn't want you to go through life alone. He wants a relationship with you. That's evangelism. At our memorial service, which was at a picnic shelter out in the in a beautiful park, a woman showed up. No one had ever seen her before in our family. I did not recognize her at all. And when we gave a chance for people to speak at the memorial that just wanted to share how they knew Chip, my brother, I could not wait for this woman to possibly stand up and say something. And it came down to the very end. I was kind of biting my nails. Who is this mystery lady? And she stood up and she said, none of you know me.
But this man who has passed, Chip Hobbs, he knew me. He was my neighbor. And he helped my car run when it wasn't running. And he mowed my grass for me. And I'd had a difficult time. 9 out of 10 days a week, it was rough. It was hard for me. This man cared for me. And I just came to say thank you to the family that were here. It meant the world to me. It was worth shouting about. It was evangelism in his own way of doing things. And for some of you, when you think about evangelism, the first thing you think about, you know, is some guy screaming on the corner, some crazy preacher with smacking people with a Bible as they walk by. That's one type of evangelism. I've been to downtown LA, and I've seen the Bushman that's been over there. Some of you guys know the guy. He hides in a bush, and he jumps up and screams, "Jesus loves you," right in the corner. Scares you to death, all right? Others have a sign, and they march up and down Hollywood with a sign, and they have their way of doing things. I don't think that's very transferable to most of us in here. Most of us don't ever want to be like that. But the reality is, we can be evangelistic. How can we shout to others? Here's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. First of all, about friendship. I have some very close friends in my life. You could count them on less than one hand. But they know much about me, and they also see signs of things happening in me. I want that to happen. I must have that. There's a strengthening between friendships when you're vulnerable to someone so much that you can trust them with what you're going through and how things are going. Or even the words that you say, they can tell what's going on. That's so cool. Because it gels like that, and it's closer than you've ever seen. I mean, real iron sharpening iron. Brotherhood. Takes patience, and it takes vulnerability and work. But a friendship shouts out the good news. Most people are attracted to the good news, meaning that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. They're attracted to that through somebody else. Through somebody being a good friend. Write it in. Next week, we're going to look at lifestyle. That's huge. Most are attracted to somebody who lives a good or a different life. There's just something about the way that person's living. Maybe not what they own. You tracking with me? But the way that they live. The authenticity. There's something about the way that they're living. I want that. And as a result, you get to the bottom, and layer after layer, you find out what's causing them to live that way. It's an evangelistic way. Not a chameleon of everybody else, but somebody who's trying to be different, not the same. Then hopefully in a few weeks, we'll see that you can be an evangelist through words of truth. How you share the news of God's love. How you go about it. Like this woman who showed up in the middle of nowhere in this picnic shelter. That blessed our soul. I mean, she said things that no one else could say. My brother, as a neighbor, this is how my brother lived as a neighbor. I could tell you how my brother lived for 62 years of his life, you know, of my 40-something. But I can also never tell you, you know, how he was sitting next to someone in a training class as his mechanic school. And mechanics showed up to say what Chip was like in mechanic school. And as a neighbor, it meant the world to me. His evangelistic lifestyle was different in such a way. For some of you, when you hear the word evangelism, you say, "Dude, that's not me." I mean, come on, you're a pastor. It's what you do, Hobbs. Heard that many times. You're the pastor. You do that work. I understand that fear. And here's what a lot of people want. A lot of people go through life. They want the benefits of being a Christian without the challenges that come with it. We want the benefits, meaning that God will answer our prayers. He'll hear our prayers. Then when we die, we'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. We want all the good stuff. But when it comes to the challenges, to take this powerful message that God loves you and wants a relationship with you to somebody else, we don't really want much to do with that. That's scary stuff. It might mean your story has to come out a little bit. One of the last times I talked on evangelism, somebody at a Sunday service came up to me and said this. Here's my friend. you tell him about God. You know, I went to get a coffee. I was like, hello, my name's Andrew. It was awkward, right? They brought them. Basically, what the person was saying is, I'm not an evangelist. Hobbs, you are. You tell him. Guess what? The fact that this guy brought his friend here, just brought him here, just got him, just to the property here, that was evangelistic. Catch that? Y'all are listening, right? Just the invite alone already broke the ice. The fact that the person showed up and respected him because of his friendship, because of his lifestyle, that he came. That was evangelism. This idea of taking the good news that God loves you, wants a relationship with you, is so important. It's the last thing Jesus said. Check it out. Look in your notes or look on the screen. Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. Circle power. And will tell people about me everywhere. Circle, tell people. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. It's interesting, the word command. This is not a suggestion of Jesus. It's a command. The whole idea we're going to talk about here, especially if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. But if you are a Christian here this morning and you say, I care about this, I seriously do, but you don't care about evangelism, can I say to you this? From one Christian to another, in a very real way, you're telling your friends to go to hell. I have to go there. If you don't care about evangelism, meaning the good news that God loves them and wants a relationship with them, you're telling your friends to go to hell. For some of you, that's no big deal. I tell my friends to go to hell all the time. That's not different for you. But in a very real way, that's what you're saying. Mark 16 says this, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Circle that, everyone. It doesn't give you a selection process here. It says live it. You never know where it's going to be needed. I literally was standing in my very first airport ever alone the other night. They closed the place. The last flight for Las Vegas was leaving, and I wasn't headed to Las Vegas. I was sitting there waiting on my family to come from Zion National Park to finish their drive to Grand Junction. And I sat in Grand Junction Airport. It wasn't very big, bigger than Long Beach, but I sat there. And the security guard came up, and he simply said, dude, what's going on? They've already boarded the plane. I said, I'm not going there. I just got off a flight. Here's the deal. And he goes, oh, cool, man. Well, listen, feel free to sit here till 8 o'clock. You're good. And I looked at my watch. That was 15 minutes later. And it's 29 degrees outside. And I realize I'm headed for the curb. So I shot some video. Some of you guys saw that. I posted, like, what's going to happen here? Family was still 60 miles away, 15 minutes to go. I knew I was curbing it, man. So the security guard came up to me and he goes, I tell you what, you can sit in my office while I finish shutting down this wing of the airport. So I moved from the cafe to his security office. And I sat in there and I was watching all the little cameras and I saw him moving around. It was just the two of us in an entire airport alone. Weird. So I had to do something. So I shot some video. I was bored. And then I realized I've fallen into something a little deeper here. And from the security office, we moved to the doorway. And then as he locked the various doors, he got to that doorway, and I had to step out into the 29 degrees. And he goes, I have nothing going on. We could hang out here. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So we went outside and started talking. And I got to know him. He was actually from Boston. And he said, why is your family picking you up here? Why aren't you in the van with your family? And I explained to him what happened to my brother in the memorial. And he said, oh, really? My dad died last month, a month ago today. And I'm grieving over the holiday too. You figure that one out. So that security guard was supposed to be alone that night in the airport, still grieving for his father. I don't think so. So God designs a late van, and I'm hanging out with some guy from Boston with a loss. And I've got a loss. And it's 29 degrees out, and we're both freezing cold. And we're both talking about the people in our lives and reflecting. Come on. Everyone. Circle everyone. The least suspecting guy, security guard, comes up to me. I had a chance to tell him I'm a pastor, and he freaked out. He goes, "You don't look like a pastor." And I said, "You don't look like a security guard." I get that a lot. Relationships come and they go. Where could God be taking them? When you read the word preach, some of you think immediately, I've got to go stand on the corner and scream at people. No, that's not the only way to preach. Some of you are living your life right. And you've brought a friend here this morning. You're preaching the good news just by being a friend. Good news comes from friends who, meaning this, most people hear the good news. God loves them, wants a relationship with them. And does this make sense? It can get confusing at times. I've been to Anaheim Stadium, and I've seen the banners go around the stadium by airplane. You know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And I look around, and I see what happens by people that are reading that sign. I've seen it on the beach for years where I grew up. They'll fly these signs by. I've never seen someone literally fall on their, you know, knees because of that plane. I haven't seen that happen, but it could happen. But I've never seen that on a banner. Does that mean God can't use the banner? The answer is no, he could use the banner. A lot of times people use the banner to propose, right? And that works. I've seen it here in Avalon. But I don't know anybody who has found the good news because of that plane banner. I don't know them personally. But I've also heard about a helicopter that circled the stadium and dropped ping pong balls on top of everyone in there with Bible verses on them, John 3:16. You pick up the ping pong ball and say, "Oh, John 3:16, that must belong to John. He has 316 of them." You know, people don't know what's going on. They don't. The guy with the rainbow hair behind home plate holding up the sign, right? You guys are nodding with me. You've seen the World Series. And there's always the rainbow guy back there and the sign that goes up. It could work. When I was in high school, we used to go to the beach, and there was all these people with long hair. We're talking, this is 80s and 70s. They'd have these tracks. You remember these tracks? Some of them scared me to death. Some of the drawings on these things, I mean, I'd find them sometimes in a restroom in random places on a newspaper bin. And they were saying some pretty scary things. And, you know, if you got cornered or something, if you died tonight, where would you go? Heaven or hell? And if you got talking to these people, and I'm just a kid, I'd be like the hospital, you know? They go further. If you walk across the street and get hit by a car, where would you go? They try to scare me into heaven. All it did was make me a better pedestrian. When I was crossing the street, but it didn't scare me into heaven. What I'm saying to you is this. Most people hear about the good news through relationships. So today, I want to talk to you about how to be a good friend. Good news comes from good friends who take an interest. You take an interest. That security guard interested me. Why? I was about to be alone. I didn't want to use my phone battery to play music. I play music all the time. I'm like, this phone's important. They could break down before they get here, and I'm not going to know because I'm playing my music. I need to talk to somebody. Security guard, he wanted to talk to somebody. I took an interest. Everybody wants somebody to take an interest in their life. When I go to high school campuses, there is always a Mr. Obnoxious. There is always a Miss Obnoxious and Miss wanting to be the center of attention. Eileen, you know this more than anyone. There are these people that just, the kids are there. It's there. Teachers, you know it. They cry out for attention. They've learned that over the years, that's how you get somebody to take an interest in them. You just be obnoxious. The reality is everybody wants somebody to know them. They do. They want to be known. I have a friend. I'll just call him Shannon. He always asks me this question. He's very good at it when we see each other. He says stuff like, "What have you been up to? I haven't seen you in a while." He asks it, and it really looked like he cares. So I might say something like this. "Oh, we just got back from a vacation. We went up to the Santa Cruz Surfing Hall of Fame up there, you know, at Steamer Lane. And within a second, oh, as soon as I say that word, it triggers something about himself. He'll spin the table like he really doesn't care about my answer anymore. And all of a sudden he'll go, oh, Hall of Fame. My grandmother's uncle's sister's brother dated Duke Hanamoku's daughter's mom. Or something like that. And he'll just talk about himself. I just was asked a question. I answered it. And all of a sudden it's about you. Every time I've ever been with him, he'll say, Hobbs, how you doing? I'll make one comment and bam, it's back to him. Because guys love to talk about their favorite subject sometimes, themselves. You may think that's a second favorite subject, but no, there is a first favorite. People want to talk about themselves. You guys, this isn't new. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians 2. If you're struggling this morning, look at Scripture. You can blow me off, but look at Scripture here. This is clear. Killer. Do not be interested only in your own life. Catch that? But in the lives of who? Yeah. There's a bumper sticker around town somewhere. Others. I've seen it. Are you this type of friend? Are you the type of friend that actually takes an interest in somebody else? Or are you always waiting for them to take an interest in you? Do you want to be a good friend? Take an interest. Number two, are you available? Are you available? Meaning that you're available for them when life gets tough, crisis. And I've had one. Still processing. But I feel like I'm coming over the top. Because I've had some good friends pushing me there. You guys have seen these big wave surfers, right? Big wave surfers. They do toe-in surfing. And they ride these waves, getting slingshot in by a jet ski. And then when they wipe out and they hit that little CO2, and it'll bring their vest up to the surface, and they're getting hammered with another one and another one. These guys go in and rescue them and take them on the back of these things and slingshot them back out, putting themselves in harm's way to rescue someone else, whether they like them or not. They don't want to go home that night thinking, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. They just do it. They rescue someone. They push them over the top into safety in the midst of that crisis. I want friends like that. And there is a friend in this room that took a minute after unloading a pile of my stuff and moving day and said, listen, I know that you're going to have a few days here of what's going on. If you need someone, I'm here. If you need a good listener, I'm the person. Call me. I was grateful. I wrote it down in my heart. But the majority of us, we sit back and we're just thinking, no, they need to be alone. They're going through something. I'll talk to them next week. They've got so many people around them right now. You know, people think like that. To be a good friend, you're available in good times. Proverbs 18, there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Are you that kind of friend? Be available. Friendships are built on trust. You know this. If you can't trust a person, you're not really a friend. The only way that you can build trust to be in one another's life is to be available in good times and difficult times. That's where the trust forms. I don't care how late of a night it is, even if one eye is open, can you be there for your friend? You may not even be able to relate to their situation, but to that person you're saying, I care. I may not even have something to say, to offer you, but I will sit here. Because I care for you. You're my friend. You're available to help them and comfort them. That's what friends do. Good news comes from friends who speak less and listen more. Let me focus this point onto guys. It's a known fact that ladies, you're better communicators than guys are. Okay? Just a known fact. Guys, if you can learn to listen, truly learn to listen, you will go so far in your relationships. I'm talking to myself. I am. You ever seen this before? You ever seen a totally beautiful lady? I mean, we're talking a 9 or a 10, so to speak, and there's this 4 or a 3 guy that's just kind of hanging out, and you're like, what is going on? You're sitting there, how did that happen? He's a stud listener. I guarantee it. Ultimately,
People are attracted not to the outside, but what's on the initial attraction here. It wears off, okay? But the inner world, what's going on inside? What are you like on the inside? And gentlemen, listening is an art. If you can learn to listen, really take an interest in somebody's life and listen, all of us, including myself, will go far in life. And you'll be a great friend. And that relationship will help you draw people to God. The good news is that He loves them and wants a relationship with them. Hey, 2018, no better message than God loves you and wants a relationship with you. All right? You want to make a New Year's resolution? Have a relationship with God. A couple ways that'll help you listen. With your ears. I know what you're thinking, going, duh. But here's what I mean by this. Most people listen surface. Most people, our words are just kind of come out and they just sit on the table. Most of the time when people talk, they're revealing something a little deeper. There's more than just what's on the table. My question is, are you just hearing what's being spoken or hearing what's just being said from the surface or from someone's heart? Take a minute. That's what I mean by listening with your ears. A lot of people throw out words, but many times behind those words, they're getting at something deeper that people skip out on because they don't hear it. They just aren't listening. They're throwing out little morsels of food to see if you'll actually take them. But you don't take them because you don't hear. We just move on. I'm guilty as charged. Actually, they're exposing their heart in a very real way. I think when God rescued my heart, where I had been taken out by so many different things with the enemy and wounded by so many different insecurities by my own by my family situations and just the situations in sports and other people that have stacked hands in my life, my eyes were open to basic scriptures that I had heard and memorized all my life. Over and over again. Did it for VBS. Did it for this summer camp. Did it for this school deal. You know, verse. Basic verses that I had memorized became alive when my heart came alive. My eyes were opened. A malaise came off of my eyes. And when someone started talking to me, I'm talking one-on-one. I sat knee to knee, eye to eye, and genuinely heard every word that they said. I don't know who the other guy was, but I don't want to go back to that guy. All I know is, once I was blind, now I can see. Jesus rescued my heart, healed me of my wounds, and all of a sudden, people were more interesting than ever. Because I got my eyes off of me. Still, my eyes can go on me. I still struggle with pride, like many of us in here can. But when God comes in and I ask Him for forgiveness and I am restored and I am forgiven, people matter again. And I'm going back and forth saying, listen with your ears and with your eyes. Write it in. Eyes are powerful forms of communication. Our family struggles with this because we multitask so well. I'll just call it that. When you look at somebody, you look at their eyes. You don't look past them. I've been trained by many, many wonderful people, including John Maxwell and others, in great leadership trainings, other things. Carrying on an interview, literally looking at someone with confidence saying, you're looking for someone, I'm your man. You're done looking. I'm the one you need. That eye-to-eye contact with confidence that says, I can get this done. You know, there's a new movie out right now. I don't know if you've seen Star Wars. I don't want to ruin it for you. But there are some shots in there of a man who really does believe, I have what it takes. I can do this. I love that. He'll struggle. He'll fail. But most of the time, he succeeds. And I love that. I've spoken to people before when they've asked me a question. They look at me and their eyes communicate, I care about your answer. I care about you. This is important to me.
There was actually a young lady. She's an alumni. She's not here today, but she was here to play in our alumni game, and it kind of fizzled out, and we're going to put another one together this week. And she showed up, and she had been gone for quite a while, and I'm talking to her, and like, hey, how's it going? You know, she waved to me from a distance, and I showed up next door. I'm going, how was the first semester? How did it go? She was in beauty school, Paul Mitchell thing over here. Pretty big deal, got the invite. And all of a sudden, I'm carrying on a conversation, and I notice she's just looking over my shoulder at a million other people. And what's going on? I'm like, so how's school? You know, and she's like, good, good, good. Over here, you know, and she's like, what's up? You know, she's doing that, and I'm like standing right there going, what's going on? Before you know it, I was just like, all right, I'm out of here. Good listening was not her deal. I mean, she's just working it, you know, like, hey, what's up? And I just felt like a number. I don't want to be that way as a pastor. Listen with your ears. Listen with your eyes. This is big. Advanced. May take you a while. But that genuinely says to someone, I'm hearing your story. Ask questions. That's another one. It lets somebody know you're listening. I know this sounds basic stuff, but how often do you look at someone and say, yeah, I got it. So instead of just going, oh, that's cool, you may say, how'd that make you feel? What was that like? How did your parents respond to that? Where did they go with that? Did that bother you? Just begin to peel back some of the layers. That's what friends do, because the conversation will open up and go deeper once you start putting a few of these in there. Friends just don't stay on the surface and play video games together. You can't invite someone out to have a conversation to the casino movie. That's not how you do a relationship, right? It's got to be a cup of coffee or a walk on the pier, something that sets up the environment. James 1 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Some of you may want to memorize that. It's a biggie. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Good news comes from friends who use words that build up as well. When it is time to talk, what do your words sound like? Bottom line, and I'll just go very basic, anytime I'm on a campus, and literally FCA, walk right in, I can hear somebody put somebody down just like that, okay? Just like that. And watch how people talk to one another. Test it this week in the workplace. It's just the joking that goes around, and I'm guilty of it. And sometimes you think you know you're on the level with somebody and you can joke around, but all of a sudden somebody draws a line. 90% of you just nodded your head in the room. And you've stepped across some line, all of a sudden you've got to be like, listen, man, I was just joking. You all right? Yeah? Sorry. Was it worth it? During football season, there's a guy calling another guy Ugg. And I was like, what does he wear, these shoes or something? You know, they're like, no, he's just ugly. And I'm like, brutal, you know? And the guy goes, what? I am ugly. I was like, whoa, he even bought it. I hope he really didn't buy it. But guys joke around so quick, you wonder if any of them ever draw a line. Emotionally, spiritually, set yourself up. Know what you're dealing with, really. I don't mean just in the workplace, but in your own family. Words can scar and shape. Words can mold and tear down. Words are important. Matthew 12 says, good people have good things in their hearts, so they say good things. Evil people have evil in their hearts, and they say what? Kind of goes together. Jesus is saying you can tell somebody's heart by the words they say. Ladies, do you want to know what a guy is really like? Okay? Listen to how they talk. Not to you. Because guys have learned how to talk to you because they're trying to get something from you. It's not your, you know, not just lunch. There's another message. Listen to how they talk. Literally. When they're not around you or not around other ladies, perhaps, listen to how guys talk. Jesus said you can tell somebody's heart, the condition of what comes out of their mouth. Great verse, Proverbs 18, I'm looking at it here. Words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The Bible's saying the right words will do something for your soul. Where your soul goes, ah. Wouldn't you like to have a friend that when you saw them, you knew that friend was going to say something to you of serious satisfaction? they're on the same boat with me. I get to sit by them for an hour and 5 minutes, or they're on the same boat with me. I got to sit with them the next hour and 5 minutes. Imagine this, because we know what it's like when food satisfies the stomach. Imagine how this is true, that words satisfy the soul. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. There's a song there. Good news from people who want to build up. Tenderly correct is the next one. Good friends who want to tenderly correct. And I realize, guys, that tenderly is not a word that's on your vocabulary. But here's the deal. Let's focus on correct for a second. If you're going to be a friend, you've got to correct your friends. If you see friends going down the wrong path, what kind of friend are you if you let them do it? You got to get involved. You're going to get dirty. That's his choice. No, if you're his friend, you go there. You don't let him make the choice. That's what he wants to do. Fine. No, it's not fine. Get in there. Do what you can. Leave the rest up to God. You're not being a good friend when you say, I care about you, but I don't care about you. You're a good friend when you say, I care about you too much to not let you and everything else you've got going on right now go down the wrong path. I see it. You're bailing. Your friend may blow you off, but let me tell you something about being blown off here. Ultimately, he's going to go down the wrong path. Guess where it ends? Dead end. Okay? He's going to get there. He's going to turn around. It always ends in a dead end. And somebody's going to turn around. When they turn around, they're going to remember a good friend cared about them to tell them the truth. So much so that they tried to correct him. Yesterday, I was standing in the boat line, 4:30. And there was somebody in line with us, very close to us. And this particular person had been struggling in a million different ways in their life. Not that I haven't been, but they were struggling. It was pretty outspoken in the community here that this person has kind of lost a lot of change with people. You know, not a whole lot of change left. They just don't trust this person. And in a few seconds, a conversation started simply because they turned around and they said, hey, is there church tomorrow morning? I said, yes, there is. How are you? I didn't know where the conversation would go at that point. But I left that up to God. I literally just started in. It was worth it. He's not here. But maybe he came earlier. I don't know. But it was worth it. The reason I use the word tenderly, because that's the only type of correction somebody's going to listen to. And boy, am I preaching myself right now. If you're aggressive with it, if you're abusive, jerk, you're so stupid. I can't believe you think partying every night, doing the weed and the drugs, you're an idiot. It's not going to work. It doesn't make you want to change. You want to roll another one at that point. But a tender correction says this. I've noticed your life. We've been friends for a long time. Just want to go on record to say, I care about you too much to let you go down that path without saying anything. If I didn't say anything, I wouldn't be a friend. Tenderly correct. Proverbs, love it, right here. It's better to correct somebody openly than to have love and not show it. Meaning that if you really love and care for them, correct them. The slap of friend can be trusted to help you. But the kisses of an enemy are nothing but lies. Meaning this, it may hurt to be slapped, but if a friend did that, you know he loves you. Rather than somebody coming up to kiss you who's an enemy. Good friends, correct friends. We're talking about good news. Let's review. God loves you, wants a relationship with you. The good news comes best in the context of friendships. Here are the take-home actions if you care. Evaluate your friendship capacity. What kind of friends do you have? What kind of friend are you? How many friends do you have? You can be friendly to everyone, but you can only be a deep, deep friend to how many? A few. I'd love to have 3 × 3 × 3. I have tons of friends. Whether you're Instagram, social, whatever it may be, you have tons of friends. But friends that know the real you? Very few. You got to work at it. That's why there's fewer, because it takes more work. Am I available? Do I speak less, listen more? Do I use words that build up? Do I tenderly correct? Evaluate your friendship capacity. I want to encourage you to list your non-Christian friends as well. List their names. Why? Because if you don't, you're just going to forget about them. You're going to move on to something else. List them. Write them somewhere. If we're talking about evangelism, one of the ways to share the good news through being a good friend with your non-Christian friends is literally writing their names down somewhere. Doing this with them. And when you make a list, I'm not saying make a list and tape it to your, you know, your golf cart steering wheel or something like that, but make a list that says, am I being a good friend to them? Maybe just put that down. What kind of a friend am I? Are they seeing the good news that God loves me and wants a relationship with me? Are they looking at me? What do they think I'm about? Tough guy? You know? Business person? This is... What do they really see about me that has value to them? What do I have to offer? And my friend that somebody would go, that's what a Christian friend is? I want that. Are you being that kind of friend? I want to challenge you to commit to pray for these friends daily. I finish with this. At ACC, we have different words. But one of them that's beautiful, that was borrowed, is friendship evangelism. You're evangelistic through your friendships. There's a lot of people here today. My prayer is that a chunk of you will commit to this. Let's just say 25%. You'll commit to pray for your friends. And I'm looking for that number. And I brought some little sticky notes. Can I get some help with that? Let's pass them around, dude. There's plenty. And just rip batches of them off. Pass them out. If I could have our worship team come up. So here's the deal. I'm just helping you out. You totally don't have to do anything. If you're just checking this whole thing out, keep checking it. You're like, oh no, he's asking us to do something. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really not. Jesus has asked you to do something, and I'm assisting. The little sticky note there, and I'd love for you to keep it really simple here. It's up to you. You can actually put the person's name on there or just their initials. That's cool. But take a minute and let's just come up with a number. 3 is a good one. You may not even be able to put 2 on there. You may only have 1. 3 names who need to hear the good news. They may be in this room, so maybe their initials are all that's necessary right now. Write them down. Take a minute. Write them down. When you leave here, you have 2 options. I'm just going to give them to you. Option A, keep that with you. You probably don't need option A because you already remember their names, so you really don't have to write them down anywhere. But you can put them as your offering today. As you leave the doors, there's an offering box out there. I would love to know the names that you're praying for. And literally, more than that, God would love to have that as your offering today. I'm offering this to you. 2018, I'm going to list these friends. I'm going to pray for these friends. They need the good news. And how you're involved in that at that point, it's up to you and God. That invite, that's up to you and God. I mean, as only you can do it, as only He can work through you and do it, let that be the sweet fragrance on the altar of 2018 to your Savior. There's plenty of room on this pew. Nobody's sitting in this pew. I could put 5 more in your pew. We need 4 more services here. Let's do it. I'll be here for every one. Maybe one eye open, but we'll do it. Let's fill this room with people who need to hear the good news. Amen? take a minute. If you choose to keep your paper, that's awesome. And for the next couple weeks, maybe you keep it and you list it. Later, you put it in the offering box next week or the week after that. It's up to you. But I encourage you to not just fill out just any old name, but literally people that you know need to hear the good news. And work on that. Allow God to work on you first. I'm thankful for those of you who are stepping up to this challenge, identifying some of your non-Christian friends. And I'm just letting you know, I want to pray for you. And if you need it, I'm going to be up here. This is a commitment, and this takes work. And I don't care, you know, Kevin, you and Vanessa are all the way from Florida. You guys are traveling here, and it's great to have you guys. You have friends back home. Some of you are visiting from other places. You got friends back home. You got relatives. I don't care if it's out of the country. List their names. They may not live in Avalon. It's okay. But I hope that you're a part of this. Let's pray. God, I know that you can do what I can't do. So all I can do is preach and try to keep people awake, hopefully challenge them to want to go deeper with you. Now I pray that your Holy Spirit would knock on the hearts of at least 25% in this room. I want you to care for those friends that are listed on those papers, Father. Show the people that are writing those names down what it looks like for them to be a part of that. And God, because of that, revival would break out in this city and in our school and in our homes and in this building. Because people took an interest in their friends. They took an interest in being a good friend, modeling the good news. I pray this in faith. In the name of Jesus, amen.